Good morning, listeners, early stage startup founders, anybody who's interested in startups in India. Welcome to this next episode of India Startup Talk. And today's topic is, if you think your startup is competition proof, try pitching to Michael E. Porter. Lately, what's been worrying me is how likely most early stage startup founders treat the subject of competitive advantage. Founders often toss out phrases such as first mover advantages, N number of patents, or we have a secret sauce. Well, sorry to say that most of these strategies are not strong enough given all the competitive forces at play in the market. So what are we missing? Me, with my management consulting background, I tend to go back to my roots and search for a suitable framework or a methodology in whatever I do. Well, the beauty of frameworks, as any management consultant would tell you, is that they are comprehensive, in the sense that you can be assured that you are being completely thorough. So, on the subject of competitive advantage, I want to tell you how one of our management gurus, Michael E. Porter, enlightens us with his classic Porter's Five Forces, a perfect framework for 360-degree analysis on competitive market forces. Notice that I keep using the words competitive forces and not competition, because here lies my point about lack of comprehensiveness by founders when it comes to addressing competition. To them, competition is just one-dimensional, and that is the threat from competitors. Well, as the framework suggests, Porter's Five Forces, that is, you can at once see that there are four more things to consider. That is apart from the main one, which is threat from competition. So the four other areas are, number one, threat from substitutes. The second one is bargaining power of your suppliers. The third one is bargaining power of your buyers. And the last one is degree of rivalry in the existing competition. So let me discuss each one of these in the context of startups so you get a better understanding of what I'm talking about. So let's say that if you were the founder of Swiggy or Zomato, think about what can be a substitute that competes with your product. Your customer's mom's cooking? Decent and reasonably priced restaurants to take out? Places that are right next to your customers' homes? Local delivery service from nearby restaurants to your customers? Or customer staff, domestic staff, that can just nip down to their favorite restaurant and fetch it for them? Now, Swiggy and some Zomato can counter this problem with a fun experience in their app with beautiful pictures, discount coupons, loyalty programs, and huge selection of food. So they kind of covered this area of threat, which is threat of substitutes, okay? But what about you? What about your product? Did you think of that? The next one, bargaining power of suppliers. I came across a startup that depends on LinkedIn to source candidate profiles for their jobs application tracking software, also known as ATS in the industry. And what this means is that they're dependent on LinkedIn for servicing their own clients through their ATS system. Well, at some point, LinkedIn might wake up and shut down this service or start charging a fee for supplying these candidate profiles. So what happens then? All of a sudden, this ATS startup will have to raise their prices or will be compelled to find an alternative to LinkedIn for finding candidate profiles. With this type of situation, is what bargaining power of suppliers mean, and this can significantly impact your bottom line, or worst case, might even force you to shut down. So the solution here is to ensure that you have built a way to counter the risk of your suppliers, so to speak, choking you. The strategy for this ETS firm I'm talking about could well be thinking of quickly building some other sources while they're dependent on LinkedIn, such as, you know, alliances with job portals like Manpower, Monster, Hot Jobs, and so on and so forth. Now, if your startup has an abundance of suppliers, then there's nothing to worry. And remember, suppliers can be a service or could be a raw material that you're dependent on. Let's take another example. Oyo Rooms, we all heard about them, right? Their suppliers are existing hotel properties who are looking to bring additional traffic, albeit under the banner of Oyo, right? Now, think about it, it's interesting. Currently, there's a pandemic going on and a lot of hotel businesses are suffering. So there is an oversupply of properties, which is fantastic for Oyo, because their suppliers are actually have lost their bargaining power. But this situation can change very quickly. Once the pandemic's over and the tourism industry starts to boom again, the hotel owners, which are the suppliers to Oyo, will decide, hey, I don't need to go to Oyo. We're running our business fine. So now Oyo has a problem. So this kind of illustrates the force of your supplier's bargaining power. What about your suppliers? What is your contingency plan? Are you too dependent on your downstream suppliers? Well, in that case, you better have a risk management plan. Let's move on to the next one. The bargaining power of buyers. Just like suppliers had a bargaining power, your buyers or your customers also have the same thing. So watch out. Buyers have choices, you know. You must be familiar with how airlines sometimes say when you're on a flight, we know you have a choice when it comes to flying, so thank you for flying Indigo, for example, right? Why did they say that? Because they have a choice. Think of iOS users, you know, Apple users versus Android users. I've switched to Android, not because of the price, which is probably partly the reason, but also because when I moved countries from US to India, I had all kinds of issues with iTunes store setup, which prevented me from using my subscription to iTunes. In addition, I couldn't download a whole bunch of apps that I needed here in India that I could get in the Android App Store, and I couldn't get it in the US App Store for Apple. They call it the iTunes stores. So I moved. So I got frustrated, right? So this is the thing that I want to highlight about the bargaining powers of your buyers or your customers. Now, I'm sure you've been told many times, no matter what you think, you will have competition, and therefore your buyers will have a choice. Your buyer's choice is bound to be based on features that is near and dear to them and not what you think is better than the competition. Now think of what I just said. If you want to rewind and re-listen to this, you can do that. But this is important. This is where the bargaining power of your customers or your buyers come in. So the solution here is to know and understand your customers well and give them the features and experiences that you know for a fact that they would like. This way, they will buy your products and stay with you. If you're the founder of Swiggy, you need to stay up at nights and worry about what will prevent your customers from defecting over to Zomato, for example. You get my point. Let's move on to another one of the Porter's five forces. Rivalry amongst competitors. This is an interesting one. Amazon is the Amazon of booksellers, right? But look at all the ebook startup competition that is coming up and what they're offering to compete with Big Daddy Amazon, starting from free books to free publishing tools for authors to even revenue sharing with the authors on sales, much higher than what Amazon offers. Just in case you're wondering if Amazon does revenue share or not. Well, there is one startup I came across that is even doing the book marketing for new authors. And there are other book startup companies that are not only offering free publishing, but they're also listing the books free of charge on multiple platforms for book sales, such as Kindle, Nook, Apple iBooks, Kobo, Smashwords, etc., etc. Pretty interesting, right? So please understand that when you appeared on the horizon, you must have disrupted the market with a great idea. But think about, what about others who come after you? Because they will do the same. See, Uber and Ola are riding high right now. But another company that you may have heard of called BlueSmart has come in with sanitized, economical, fully vaccinated drivers in electric cars. So clean energy, professionally trained drivers at lower prices. And they even say that their drivers do not have a cancel button on their apps, right? So this is funny. Now, what does all this mean to Uber and Ola? Watch out. Also, be aware that if your startup is operating in a market that is crowded with competitors, the cost of marketing becomes significant. For example, the success of BlueSmart in this case depends on how massive their marketing budget or their efforts will be, right? So there you have it now. You now know what it takes to be fully prepared to understand and defend four other competitive market forces or dimensions that our management guru, Mr. Porter, has taught us. But what about the very first one? The one that everyone talks about, which is direct threat from new entrants. Okay, remember that? And also remember at the very beginning, I said things such as first mover advantage, patents, and secret sauce are weak strategies. Well, I just said that to grab your attention. To be truthful, these things are still needed. You need them to keep your new entrants or your competition at bay while you pick up momentum. In fact, I would add one more thing to those three things I just said, and that is GTM, which stands for go-to marketing strategy. So GTM is all about how efficiently your approach or your methodology, how efficiently can you grab your market share? Because remember, you have a limited amount of time. Now, this GTM I have discussed in a lot more detail in my previous podcast, which is titled as The Importance of GTM. You must go and listen to it. So let's recap now. To claim that you have competitive advantage, you must show strategies to handle competition, not just along one dimension, but along five dimensions as given to us by our management guru, Michael E. Porter, which goes with the name of Porter's Five Forces. And that is, number one, threat from new entrants, the one that we all know about, the most obvious one. And the way you can deal with this is ask the question, how are you better than them? That is your new competitors, right? The second one, now from second to the fifth, are the ones that I just introduced as the ones that you may have never thought of and you need to think, right? So the second one is threat of substitutes. Can you make your customers use your products instead of how they are solving that problem or handling it today? Okay, it may not even be a competitor's product. Because remember, before you came, they were carrying on with their lives just fine. Well, maybe not just fine, but they were doing something. So you have to keep that in mind. What is a substitute to your product? The third thing is bargaining power of suppliers. Can you prevent your suppliers from squeezing you or choking you? Okay, that's the third one. The fourth one was bargaining powers of your own buyers, your customers. And the question to ask is, can you convince your customers to buy your products? The fifth and the last one is the degree of rivalry amongst your competitors. Can you counter your competitors' strategies? That's the four, five questions that you need to keep in mind. Now put yourself to the test. If you were to pitch to Michael E. Porter for a round of funding, would he give you the money? Well, yes, he would. If answers to those five questions which I just asked you is yes, then you have the money. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I will see you next time. Hey, if you want to listen to some of the other episodes or you want to join an accelerator program where I provide mentoring to early stage startups, come and visit my website at www.zenesysconsulting.com and you can find the details over there.